Welcome, Katie. We have Katie Pantaleo on the podcast today. In your own words, I'd love for you to describe just who you are, what you do, and what mission you're on.
So I am a event planner, event manager, tournament organizer. I focus mostly on private events, but I also do gaming events as well. That's pretty much who I am. I was a catering sales manager, so I come from a food and beverage background, and then have been able to sort of combine my passions of food and beverage with my passions for gaming, which very happily worked out for me. And now I'm kind of getting the best of both worlds. The mission that I'm on definitely started out trying to make more of an inclusive place for all gamers, coming from growing up feeling like I didn't really fit in like a traditional gamer sense. I definitely have really strived to make gaming accessible to everyone and kind of make it just a nice little like gathering place for everyone, even if you're not like super competitive or you're not super casual, just kind of be able to fit in everywhere.
What's like a gamer experience that you've had that just really made you fall in love with gaming? And do you remember sort of what emotions it evoked from you?
Yeah, so I grew up actually being that like little sister that would watch her brother play video games. And so kind of traditionally, like he never let me play and I would just watch. And my first time like actually getting a chance to like sit down and play a game, I actually played the first Kingdom Hearts. And it was sort of like a, I don't know if I would recommend that as your first game to get into as a child, because it's pretty intense. There's a lot going on. But the story is what I really fell in love with. And the story of Kingdom Hearts kind of made me realize that, oh, I don't have to play video games for like competitiveness or to even have to play with other people. I can play games that are interesting to me. And the story is really what makes me want to play. And so I fell in love with Kingdom Hearts, and then it sort of got me into a series of like RPGs and like kind of simulation games that I ended up really liking the story for and being able to like sit down on my own time and play and not have to worry about like other people judging me or watching me or anything like that. So definitely I would say Kingdom Hearts is what got me into it.
I want to know what similarities that you think are between gaming and the culinary world, if any, if it's creativity, if it's the community aspect, or how have you merged those two worlds?
Yeah, community is definitely a big one. I think when it comes to cooking, and I come from a catering background, so it was a lot of kind of having to figure out exactly what your client is looking for. And I think when it comes to gaming, it's sort of the same thing, where instead of client, you know, you're looking at your community, figuring out like what they want, what kind of events they're looking for, how you can make them happy. And the same goes in the restaurant world. You know, you can come up with an incredible restaurant concept or menu concept that's amazing to you. But at the end of the day, if your audience and your community is not looking for that, or, you know, doesn't want to be a part of it, it's not going to mesh well. So you kind of have to be able to combine things that you love with things that are going to be appeasing to your community. And I worked really hard on building some community events within Ignite that were kind of both of those things. It's a lot of listening to what your community is looking for in events. It's sort of hard when there's so many niche games, you know, like somebody says, oh, do a Fall Guys event. It's like, wow, that sounds great, but three people show up to it. And, you know, was that really building a community, or was it just you wanted to do that one thing? And then, of course, being creative, obviously, is the same for both. It's for gaming events, you really have to think outside of the box and ways to get people to whatever location you're looking for, or, you know, get people that are interested in whatever game you're doing an activation around to be interested in this event. Just doing an event about a game somebody likes is not going to get them through the door. So kind of have to think of ways that will entice people to come out.
Do you think part of that is like building relationships? Now that you have that one center, right? It's pretty localized, right? Those people, are they traveling far to get to Ignite, or are they sort of local around that area?
Yeah, I would say both. There's definitely a lot of like regulars that come through our doors that are closer to the area. And we also do like sort of regular gaming meetups. So like we have FGC meetups and like Smash meetups that like also bring in those regular guests. But those people will travel from, you know, an hour away to get to the Ignite.
So cool. I'm curious sort of what you're thinking about the future of all of this, because I think this is pretty new. Like, I still think, I mean, lands are not new, centers are not new, but I think where it is evolving and how we're merging things like food and music, lots of other things into gaming, these centers is pretty unique. Can you talk about just, I mean, the gaming industry itself is just rapidly innovating, evolving, changing, VR, lots of different titles, ways to play. How do you stay on top of all of that and work with those trends to incorporate them? You're talking about, you know, not doing a one-off event for Among Us or something, right? Well, how do you like build those relationships with your locals and keep innovating for the future? And like, where do you see it going?
I think one thing that's great about working at a place like Ignite, and I don't even think I said that, I am the events manager for Ignite Gaming Lounge, but essentially Ignite itself is more of like a modern upscale gaming lounge. And I think one thing that separates us and makes us like achieve a little bit more in the gaming community is that we don't back ourselves into the corner of strictly a LAN center. I think LAN centers are great and amazing, and that they were there, you know, years ago to fill that need that, you know, not everybody had consoles or PCs and they wanted to play with their friends in one space. And times have changed to the point where a lot of people now have their own PCs, they have their own consoles. And so what LAN centers were offering, everybody can do at home now. Right. What a place like Ignite offers is that experience factor. So you're in an environment that has music playing and the lights are a little bit moody. You can order drinks, you can order food that is kind of the food that you imagine you want to be eating when you're playing games with your friends. It's pizza and chicken tenders and wings and mozzarella sticks. You can order a drink that's themed off of your favorite video game and play that game while you're drinking that drink.
So cool. Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of different elements that go into making that experience worthwhile and worth coming out. And I think that's what we're kind of achieving the best right now in doing. And I think if more gaming lounges kind of hop on that trend and figure out a way to make food and beverage work with their LAN center and kind of focus on the community of gamers and not just the community of competitive gamers, then, you know, everyone will be a little bit more happier and be able to vibe better.
Yeah, I mean, you and I have talked a little bit offline. Like, I think we're pretty similar. I mean, we're the sort of esportsy world of things is sort of, I think, slowly dying in a good way. I think there's some drop off that needs to happen so that we can sort of, you know, bring in some new fresh perspectives and keep this thing going. Obviously, gaming and esports are alive and well, but the way it's cultivated and targeted to people obviously isn't landing with everyone. But I think you guys are doing something special, which is why I wanted you on here, so that you could talk and maybe share some things that have worked for y'all. I'm curious, you know, food brings people together. Gaming kind of has done the same thing historically. Is there any sort of memorable experience that you guys have created or crafted that you think was just like top tier, that you really loved, that kind of blew you away with some of the things that happened?
Actually, yeah. And it's crazy because this was like not only my favorite event I've done in the gaming world and at Ignite, but I think my favorite event that I've done ever. And this was, so I ended up creating a tasting menu at Ignite for like a small number of people. I think it was 12 people we did it for.
Okay.
And the tasting menu was based off of Borderlands, like right before the release of Tiny Tina's Wonderland. And so I created a 5-course tasting menu where each dish was based off of something from Borderlands, whether it was Iridium or we did like barbecued rack tenderloin and a bunch of like fun plays on things that were in Borderlands. And then that looked like that as well. And then our F&B manager did cocktails to pair with each of them that was also based off the same theme.
Yeah.
And so we did this like tasting menu where everything kind of had a story to it. Each dish did, had a little bit of background behind it. And it was like the most fun thing because I actually got to get in the kitchen and cook everything. I got to do all the testing for it. And everything was, you know, from scratch crafted by me. So it was a lot of fun. Yeah.
You guys aren't just bringing in taco trucks. I think it's like, that's so cool. Like you really are in there creating this. It's a whole design. It's a whole, it's thought through from what it is, who your target audience is. How was it received?
It was received super well. The thing is, you know, with something like a tasting menu, that's definitely for a little bit more of an upscale clientele.
Right.
So, and that's why we did it so small. We limited it to 12 seats, just because we didn't know how well it was going to do. Mm-hmm. But we sold out 12 seats in a week, which is like crazy for me. I was like, oh, you know, we'll sell, you know, maybe half of it or whatever it may be, and whatever we get, it's fine. But yeah, we sold out 12 seats in a week. It was, you know, people asking us to do, if we could open up any more seats. Mm. And so, yeah, but it's definitely not for everyone. And I don't recommend every game launch goes and tries that out. But
only if you have a Katie, someone can bring those two worlds together thoughtfully. It's probably the best way to make it.
Yeah, exactly. You'd be surprised. Like literally nobody believed that like I cooked the food. And I'm like, no guys, like that's why we're doing this event. It was my idea. But so it was really cool, a lot of fun. But yeah, definitely for a pretty niche group of people, I would say.
Well, how would you describe those people? Are they just older? Are they looking for a more cultivated experience? Like, who are those people?
Yeah, definitely. I wouldn't say older. I think they were all in their late 20s to early 30s. Definitely a little bit more disposable income. Were all avid gamers. So they were all people that had either been to Ignite before or like were regulars of Ignite. And, you know, we're just kind of fans of what we were doing and wanted to, you know, support us and see something new.
Yeah. Yeah, that actually, I mean, that's pretty cool considering it's not really tied to the title or the game necessarily. Mm-hmm. I think you were talking about that earlier, but it wasn't really about like how popular that thing was and how niche it was for those people. It was actually about the experience and maybe even like who you guys are as your staff, like them coming together to support and love and
exactly
just like come together to try something new. I think that's something that could be implemented more, but I do think you're right. It does take probably a special team to design that and execute well. And
yes,
I'm curious now with all of this, we've talked about sort of your, the gaming broadly pared down to something really intimate, like that dinner that you served. In what ways do you think this has brought maybe different types of people through the door? Let's talk about like, how do you make this lounge feel like it's like safe and welcoming? We both know like LAN centers and esports were typically that boys club and probably not the first place you want to go and sit down and have a meal with somebody. So how have you created a space where people actually feel safe to walk through the door and have these types of experiences with you guys?
That's a great question because I think actually the last time I talked to you about this, I kind of said that had I walked through Ignite's doors, I don't know how, you know, safe and welcome I would have felt in that space originally.
Oh, yeah.
And now I feel like a few things that we do really well is have really great staff that welcomes people in, as well as, and this doesn't just apply to women, but we have a lot of really great female staff. And I think when you have female staff in a facility that's male dominated, it can kind of, you know, make everyone feel like a little bit more comfortable. Like it's not just a boys club. I think having a lot of female staff that's very knowledgeable and very welcoming is super, super helpful for us. Especially in my case, having myself be in charge of events. I think it sets a really great precedent for all of our staff to sort of feel like they feel comfortable in the space, and therefore that kind of rubs off on the rest of our guests. I think some other things we do as well is we make every game at the lounge accessible to anyone that walks in, whether it's, you know, the 9-year-old celebrating his birthday or grandma who's coming to, you know, just babysit the kids. All of our stations that are seated are very, very user-friendly. Like our interface is super user-friendly. It's like very easy to like click on a game or search for whatever game you're looking for. Or if you just want to like go on YouTube, you can also do that. All of our console booths, which is, you know, just like a couch with a big TV, it makes it feel like your living room. So it's like very comfortable. It kind of feels a little bit more private. And then we also have, which is relatively new, like an arcade. So it's pretty much like half of our space now is like a modern arcade, I would say. And sort of like on that Dave and Buster system. So you can like, you know, swipe a card and put however many points you want on it. So it's great in your downtime. If you're like getting really frustrated between your queues or whatever it is that you're doing, you just want to take a little break. Yeah. It's fun for adults who'd feel a little bit intimidated by like console gaming. And then it's fun for kids that, you know, they see the bright colors and the bright lights and they just want to play games. So I think every aspect of when you walk into our space feels inviting. It feels like you can find something that you want to do, and it doesn't feel like you have to sit down and play like League or Call of Duty or something super competitive. You can kind of just have fun and relax, and you can even just sit at the bar if you want. You don't even have to play a game when you come in.
Yeah, I love that. You guys have really just thought about who would walk through your door and how to cater an experience for them, which is just thoughtful and intentional when it comes down to it. Like, you guys really care about the people that walk through the door. And you've created these so that they can feel comfortable. Like, I imagine people walking through the door, you know, someone with their son or daughter, and just like they break off, like, and go kind of do what they want to do. They can all, you know, see each other and interact with each other still, but there's still something for them to interact with, not just sit on the wall or feel awkward.
Exactly.
And I think that's what turns people off a lot of times. You have that one bad experience and then you just don't want to do it again. So you really thought through some of that, just like basic things of how to make somebody feel really comfortable. I've walked into spaces before, like collegiate spaces, where like just like anime on the walls and I immediately just feel turned off, right? It's just, I can't, I just don't want to be here. But it's, yeah, it really does matter. Just having space, it looks like, oh, this was actually thought through. This is what I like. This is Donkey Kong over here.
Exactly.
I don't know if I'm reading legends. But there's so many different types of gamers. That's so cool that you guys have really intentionally tried to make everybody feel as welcome as they can. And I also do agree that like having just staff that are diverse in representation gender wise just makes a huge impact, especially women like you in leadership positions where, you know, like you're doing and executing and making things move. So I think it's just super important, and that trickles down to everybody else.
Exactly.
So kudos to you guys.
I appreciate that.
Obviously you're doing something right.
thank you.
I have a couple more questions for you and then we can wrap up, but I'm curious, you know, all these experiences that you've had lately, these things that you've been building, maybe some of these surprises that you had where you put on an event and it went a lot better than you thought, things like that. How has all of this sort of just impacted your perception of like the world and where it's going, the future of it, sort of like this career that you have? How is this all just, has it been surprising? Are you still moving forward towards something else? Has it shifted? Like, where are you and where are you going?
Yeah, that is such a deep question. I think that before I started working at Ignite, before I really started getting into the gaming world, I had a super, super high perception of what esports would be and what LAN centers would be and how much this would expand and how, you know, Ignite could become this like wonderful esports venue, LAN center type situation. And as I've worked here, I've come across many, many amazing events, gaming wise and non-gaming wise, that have sort of opened me up to the eyes of what esports looks like, what LANs look like. I've run, you know, a number of my own tournaments. And something I've realized is that, you know, competitive gaming is intense. And I think when it comes to the future of esports, I've learned that there isn't like one answer for it, like there is for like traditional sports. I've seen like a lot of people try to compare esports to traditional sports. And if we just followed that model, you know, it would be the same. And I don't think that's true. I think there's a lot that goes into it. There's a lot of technology that goes into it. You know, I've done plenty of off-premise activations where I know about, you know, logistics and power and internet and all the things that you need to run a successful LAN. And I think like sort of what I've seen and what I've learned is that, you know, the future of esports is not super stagnant. Like there's just gonna be changes and you're gonna have to adapt to it. And opening up LAN centers or doing LANs at whatever, you know, facility you have, it's not gonna be like the most profitable way to go. Which I always tell the people that, you know, come to Ignite and they want to run these, you know, $1,000 tournaments or whatever it may be. That's wonderful. And you're doing an amazing thing for your community. But, you know, don't think, you can't think about it as it like being a profitable adventure for you. There's just so many things that go into it. And you're always going to have people complaining. You're always going to have somebody upset about a ruling or
when it scales.
Exactly. And like there's just so many things that can and will go wrong that like I just didn't realize how like crazy this world was. But yeah, I've definitely learned that like esports in like in itself is maybe not like the best avenue to go down from like a gaming facility side. I think what like works best and what feels best personally is creating a facility or, you know, an environment where esports can thrive but is not going to be like your main source of either revenue or like, you know, event series that you do. It's way more fun and way easier to create like an experience that is welcoming to so many other people and, you know, doesn't intimidate others from trying to come and enjoy whatever that experience is.
Yeah. I mean, it's like open up the model, really. Yeah. Like make it more broad, capture more people, cater, learn how to cater to people that we haven't for so long, too.
Exactly.
I think that's part of it. You guys are learning what your customers want and then adapting to it. Like, but you got to get to know those people. Like, you have to know who's in your community and who's not and how to get them in. Super interesting. I'm curious. What would be your last meal?
Oh, my last meal. I am Italian myself, and it's so, I feel so basic to say anything Italian, but 100% my last meal would be, and this is a little specific, but it's, so orecchietti is my favorite shape of pasta. They're like little ears. Okay. So orecchietti with like garlic, olive oil, and broccoli. That's like my go-to dish. And also gnocchi, potato gnocchi. So both of those together for sure. And then garlic bread, but like homemade garlic bread, you know, like with a ton of butter and a ton of garlic, a little bit of Parmesan cheese.
What kind of bread are you using?
Man, a nice baguette is the way to go and then get it nice and crispy. I'd say that for sure. And then also for dessert, coconut cream pie, and to drink an espresso martini, and also a Pepsi. I love Pepsi, so an espresso martini and a Pepsi. Yeah, I think that'd be my last meal.
So unexpected. Yeah. Just the fact that you went for the dessert and drink made me go like, yeah, she does this. Like this is what
I
she
need
thinks
a full
about.
Meal. Like you need to hit every course.
Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah, you're the expert, obviously. I was like, I'd probably just have pierogies or something.
Oh, pierogies.
But you went for the whole...
Oh, I got to throw potatoes in there somewhere, too. I think I would do, like, mashed potatoes as well. Just a ton of starch, all carbs.
What do you put on your mashed potatoes?
So I do a really nice, like, whipped garlic mashed potatoes. So I'll, like, roast garlic, like a whole head of garlic, and then squeeze it into the potatoes. And I'll usually, like, whip it in a stand mixer with, like, a ton of butter and salt and cream and pepper. That's fine. And I'll usually do like infuse some fresh herbs into the cream and the butter so it gets a little bit of that like herby taste to it.
Yeah, those are different
mashed potatoes. They are different, not your regular mashed potatoes.
Now I see why it's part of your last meal. I'm curious, is there any like content that you consume on your free time? Maybe it's not food related, but I'm curious, is there any like YouTube videos or streams that you watch that get you inspired?
Yeah, so I don't watch like a ton of YouTube, but I do watch a lot of Twitch, and unfortunately I watch a lot of League of Legends streamers, which is like not listen, it's not the best content, but
counterintuitive whole conversation. Exactly.
But yeah, like Tyler One, I love watching Tyler One. I've recently been watching Dantes a lot, who's like very, very similar to Tyler One. But he's been kind of doing this thing where he does like a little like competition with a bunch of other streamers and like has them talk about, you know, their opinions on different things that are going on in the gaming community and the world and everything. So I kind of like content that has that, that is like a little bit more conversational and does get you thinking a bit more. And then I also watch a ton of cooking videos as well. I watch cooking videos, I watch cooking shows, cooking anime. Like I just love it. It's like I
do you have a favorite cooking anime scene that comes to mind?
Or a food? Not one that comes to mind. Like, so Food Wars is like super inappropriate, but it's right. Like I loved watching Food Wars to like just be like, oh yeah, that's accurate, that's actually how you make that, or be like, no, they're doing that wrong.
Interesting.
Or like
you were seeing something totally different than what everyone else
exactly yeah. So that's why I like it's so funny when I tell people I love it and they're like, why do you like it? I'm like, no, I like it. The food, the actual food.
She sees other things. Yeah, I love the Studio Ghibli, like the eggs and everything just like falling apart, or they're picking stuff from the garden. Yes. Love that. That was coming to mind for me. But how can we follow you, and what do you have upcoming that we should know about?
Yeah, I'm on, let's see, Twitter and Instagram. I think my Instagram is just Katie Pantaleo, and then my Twitter is Chef Katie. I'm also, if you're a business professional, on LinkedIn, you can follow me, Katie Pantaleo. And Discord, I'm also Chef Katie. Ignite actually has a Discord. It's just Ignite Gaming Lounge. I'm in there a lot. That's pretty much where to find me. Upcoming, other than like private events that I have at Ignite, I am also very fortunate to do some outside work with Red Bull Gaming. And I'm their head TO for Red Bull Campus Clutch in the US. I'm organizing and leading that team for a national collegiate Valorant tournament, which is super exciting.
Hell yeah.
That just went live earlier this week. So registration is up.
Okay.
And there's a Discord for that if there's any collegiate Valorant players listening that are interested in joining. It'll be super fun and led by me.
Awesome. Hell yeah. We'll link everything. You said registration's open now.
Yes.
People can go register. All right. Love it. Perfect timing. Well, thank you so much for talking to me today. I still have a ton of questions for you, but this was so enlightening for me to just to sort of scratch the surface of where you're at and what you're doing. Thank you so much for sharing.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I think the last time I talked to you was like the same. We did like a panel together for like Women in Gaming.
Was that it?
Yeah.
I mean, we were playing Call of Duty together. I think it was International Women's Day. We jumped on with you. We need to play Call of Duty.
Oh my God. We
just run
we
it down.
Do. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. If you get bored at Ignite, just ping me and I'll jump
will,
on.
I will.
All right. Have a good one,
Thanks.
Katie. Thanks
of
for joining
course.
Us.
Bye.